Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. And happy Wedding Wednesday, everyone. It's another Wedding Wednesday, and congratulations to all of you who are engaged and getting married before the end of the year. And, of course, happy Wedding Wednesday to our Facebook and Twitter family out there. We just want to say thank you and always say thank you for the encouragement that you guys always give us for this show and every project that we have coming up. I want to say happy birthday to Tyree Pope. He is one of our Facebook friends. He and his lovely wife, Robin, came out to a couple of our events, and I always like to make sure I acknowledge them and say hello and happy birthday, Tyree. I hope you're having a great one. And I also want to let you know that tonight's episode is sponsored by Tea by Tiffany. The flavor tonight is Moroccan mint. I do have it here in front of me, nice and hot. Mint happens to be one of my favorite flavors, and I'm so glad that Tiffany did send this to me to sample. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. If I were y'all, go over to her page. That's facebook.com/teabytiffany, and you can get some samples. You can join her Tea of the Month Club as well. She is awesome at custom blending flavors just for your taste. Now, if you've been with us, you know that this is Financial Literacy Month. And last week, we had a wonderful chat with Debt-Free Divas. They are also on Facebook, so if you have a chance, go on over, like their page, let them know that Cynthia from Bridal Tribe sent you. But tonight, I am particularly excited because we're going to be talking with Rachel Pollard of FutureBuck. We're going to be discussing financial literacy for young adults. They have a program called FutureBuck that they are specifically geared toward teaching young adults about finance. And that's a big, big thing for me. It's something that I absolutely love and enjoy doing, teaching young people about money in order to secure their future and create better money habits. So without further ado, I'm bringing Rachel right into the conversation. Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what FutureBuck is? I was really excited when I went to the website. So why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Yeah. So our company is Financial Education of America, and we're really working to raise awareness about financial education, especially among young adults. It's really lacking in school systems. And so we do that by two ways. We have a nationwide campaign, and then we also created FutureBuck, which is an online course designed for young adults, and it teaches in 10 modules the essentials of financial credit and debt management.
In 10 modules, is that 10 sessions or?
Yeah, it's split up into different, like, segments that mm-hmm. describe. So, like, credit card debt, student loans, there's mm-hmm. money and budget management, mm-hmm. et cetera. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love it. I realize that money management and student loan management and things like that are usually not even taught until people get into college, and I think that some schools are starting to integrate it into high school now, but it's predominantly taught in college, and I love that you guys are kind of getting them. Are you getting them just before college, or are you starting at 18?
It's 18 to 24 is, like, the main target, but anybody mm-hmm. in high school would find it very beneficial. Yeah, financial education is not required in most states, mm-hmm. and I think it's so important that high school students have it before going into college because, I mean, I would have loved to have something that taught me about student loans.
Yes, yes, I agree. Or even just before student loans, because they do give you, like, a short conversation about it, but if I wasn't the geek that I was growing up and actually looked into like what money in banking was and all those different things, I would have been a lot more confused when I got to college and actually took the money in banking class. And it's such an exciting class because they really go into the history of where our money came from, how things got started, you know, converting over from gold to cash and, or rather to paper, and all of these different things. And that we actually have a Federal Reserve that we can visit. And all of these wonderful things. I'm not sure exactly what's taught, so why don't we slow down? I know you named a couple of the categories very quickly, so let's slow it down. And also, okay. Let me just say to our listeners that Rachel's going to be telling us about FutureBook, and if you have any questions for her at about 10 o'clock, please do call in. The number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you are in queue and that you have a question or a comment for either me or our guest. And, you know, let's go for it. You know, talk to me a little bit more about what FutureBook, or is this Financial Education of America with FutureBook? What is it that they're investing into these young people? What are the categories?
Okay, so we begin, you can take the modules in any way you want to, but we like to recommend beginning with the credit card module. We think it's so important for young adults, particularly college-age students, to get a credit card because when kids are getting out of college and they have no credit and realize it's impossible then for them to get houses or cars mm-hmm. or even get a credit card because they have no credit.
Yes.
So it teaches them how do you do short-term financing. It tells them that paying off their credit card bill in full is so important because otherwise the debt just piles up. And it teaches you about borrowing limits and credit rating. And then it teaches you what a credit card is, all that stuff that kids might not necessarily know about them. Then we would move on to the debt module, and it talks about debt statistics and how debt is an amount owed to a person, and there's good debt and bad debt. And people always talk about debt as a bad thing, but you need debt to build credit. It tells you about debt management, how to mm-hmm. save money, understanding costs of your loans, contacting your credit card, your creditors, what they are, looking into debt relief and counseling services if you do get into debt, mm-hmm. and the last resort, filing for bankruptcy, which is hopefully nothing that especially young adults have to worry about, but I think it's so important to know about.
Agreed. I definitely had the experience of having no credit, and I thought that was a good thing at the time. I went to actually rent an apartment, and they said, well, you have no credit, and I'm like, isn't that great? I have no debt. And they said, well, no. You know, it's great you have no debt, but you also have no credit, so you have no history for us to kind of check into or to check your background so that we can actually see what type or what kind of consumer you are. Are you a good risk for us, or are you too risky for us?
Exactly.
So I do like that as well, that you're talking to young adults about what it means to, or the differences between no credit, bad credit, and credit. So why don't we go into that a little? Right. I know that you are not one of the instructors, right?
No.
I know.
No.
Rachel is, she comes on, she said that she's in marketing, which I love. And she talks to us about this. So, but I still think that you're probably very qualified to really talk about what it is that we're teaching them about the differences between these things.
Right. So good credit and good debt is something like having a credit card and paying it off in full, car payments being paid off in full. Bad debt would be purchases that you don't necessarily need, that you can't pay off, and they aren't really benefiting your credit at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, all right, so we've got that. And I suppose that since we are really focusing on college-age students, how are you teaching them to manage themselves while they're in college?
Well, we go a lot into savings and budget and money management.
Mm-hmm.
I think that savings and budget are so important because when you're a college student, you don't really think, like, you need a budget. You can just spend whatever you're taking in. But with student loans, kids are having so much more debt than they used to have. So creating a budget is something that's really important. You know, I think a lot of money really needs to go towards savings because when you get out of college, you don't necessarily have a job right away. Plus, thinking about retirement is important.
True.
So we really focus on how much money you're spending, looking into how much money you're spending, where the money goes, and how to best spend your money. Knowing the difference between needs and wants is really important.
Good. That's a very good one. Let's definitely talk about that because these are, you know, I can't say that every teenager is the same, but to most teenager, every want is a need. There's no differentiation between
them. Exactly. Yes. I know. I definitely thought that.
Right. So when you kind of it's one of your first times kind of being out on your own and really budgeting. I mean, if you haven't already been taught in your own home, how do you kind of teach them the differences between the two? Like food is a necessity, whereas some of them won't think so.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the needs and the wants and how you teach them how to choose wisely and save their money.
Yeah, so, I mean, needs are like basic food, water, shelter, transportation when necessary. But then, especially young adults, kind of blur the lines, especially with food, when there's basic food that you need, but dining out is not a need, it's a want, especially at expensive restaurants. Mm-hmm. And there are all the electronics that in today we think that we need, but they really don't come first on our spending list. Mm-hmm. There's designer clothes. Kids think that it's so important to have all the designer clothes and electronics, but really there are needs that come before that.
Well, go on.
Such as bills, your rent, student loans. There are things that we need to buy before we can focus on our wants. And then after we buy the things we need, it's still important that we put money into savings and not just spend the rest on our wants.
This is true, but I mean, at that time, are they even thinking about, because they don't have to really start paying that student loan back right away, or they don't, it's not something that is pressing to them. They know that they have at least six months after they graduate before they have to address this. So what are the immediates that you talk to them about? Because me personally, I always felt like my peanut butter cup or my Nutter Butter cookies were an absolute necessity when I was in college. That was a no-brainer for me. They were a part of the food group, and they were required to be with me at all times. I don't know. Of course, my parents did not agree, but I did.
Right, no.
So,
of course not.
So when it comes to student loans, is that something that you address very quickly, or what are the most pressing things that you address with them when it comes to spending and understanding their spending habits?
I think it really depends on the person, and that's why we focus more on a budget, where you talk about what you're spending money on and then where you can cut money after that. Everybody has different needs and even different wants, especially. And so, especially with young adults, it's hard to focus in on exactly what their needs are for spending. So I think creating a budget, looking into how much money you're getting in, and then how much money that you can afford to spend on things is a really good idea.
Okay. No, agreed. It does seem like you're personalizing it for them, and I think that that's key to helping people or individuals understand their own cash flow and their cash flow issues. Once they sit down and actually do a budget of what it is that they have coming in and what's going out, it does make people sit up and kind of pay attention. Now, when did this program get started?
We launched on August 19th of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty new, yes.
Wonderful. And have you had many people sign up for it? How do people kind of sign up, or do the parents sign people up for it? How is it that people find out about it, and how do they get involved in it?
We have had a several signups, definitely. And we are working with other organizations to help spread the word about our company. You can find us on Facebook at FutureBook and on Twitter.
Okay, and when it comes to the Young Adults, I know you said you're working with different companies to try to spread the word and get people involved. Are you working with educational institutions, or are you working with companies? How do you go into the community? Because I feel like this is something that communities would absolutely love to know about. Do you go into communities to kind of set this up and say, we're running a class, and do you do this in specific offices? How is it that you go about this, and how do people get to know more about finding you?
Definitely. We're looking to partner with different school districts, and we have several partnerships. One of our partners is the National Honors and Merit Scholars Society, and they're an academic honor society that are looking to recognize honor students and help them with their academics to mm-hmm. become more successful adults. And so we really work with them, and you know, they share our program with their members, and then we can work together to spread the word about financial education.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to, because we said that your expertise is the marketing area for this.
Mm-hmm.
When you market this to young adults, do you get a lot of people involved, and what is the success rate that you have so far? I know it's just in its baby stages, but I'm sure that, you know, that there should be some sort of success rate as to who's taken it, who's really taken it to heart and used the principles that you're teaching each and every one of them.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, when you purchase the program or sign up for it, you have 6 months to finish it. I mean, it only takes 3 hours to finish. So it's definitely something that could be done in one sitting. And we're really looking on social media to help reach out to young adults because it's such a popular way to find them and have them find us. And yeah.
And have you been finding that young adults are signing up, or are there more adults signing up? I usually find for these programs that there are a lot more adults signing up for these kinds of things. What has been your success rate been like for young adults
versus
older people?
I think definitely because of our social media, young adults are hearing about it and are interested in signing up for it, but it's definitely something that we're marketing to parents as well and educators because they really know how important it is for young adults. It's hard sometimes for young adults to look into their future and realize that this is something that they need to think about, and so they're really relying on their parents or educators to teach them about this.
And what kind of companies, businesses, organizations do you partner with? Do you partner with churches? Do you partner with you already said kind of companies and, of course, educational institutions, but do you sign up with other types of organizations in order to teach young adults? Do you work along with banks, for instance?
We are currently looking into working with banks and schools. We work with companies, and we've spoken with many financial blogs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So you guys, do you have your own blog, or do you normally guest blog and talk to other people about this?
We do have our own blog, and you can find it on futurebook.com. And we talk about topics that are also covered in our course, but we go more into depth on it, and anything that's in the news that we find really important, we discuss.
Wonderful. Okay, so you know what? Let's get personal. Let's talk about what you, Rachel, lived and learned when it comes to your finances. Now, I don't want you to, you know, tell us about the designer wear that you bought or anything like that, but you know, I know my personal experience living at home and what I was taught when it came to finance. And I was taught some things, but then there were other things that I wish I was really taught. Do you find that this was your experience growing up too? And when you partnered with this particular company, what personal experience do you bring to it to really kind of structure the programming?
Yeah, definitely. I got on board with them while they were still kind of in the creating process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we both learned a lot from each other. I'm fortunate enough to come out of school without any student loans, and I think I learned most of my financial education from my parents because I wasn't really taught anything in school about financial education or student loans. So, you know, they really focus a lot on saving, and I wish that I had learned more while I was in high school, because it's not something that you sit down with your parents and are like, okay, teach me financial education. You know, you just kind of like copy them and hope that they have good financial education practices.
Right. So I guess this program is good for those who never really kind of saw the modeling of good financial practices in their home.
Exactly.
Now, would you say that you had credit card debt or anything? I know you said you didn't have student loans or anything, and that's great. What was your own personal financial experience other than that? What can you say about you? Because I want the listeners to get to know, you know, each person or rather you, and so that we can talk and have a deeper conversation about what Future Buck can really do for young adults.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that it's really important. I mean, yeah, I'm concentrating a lot on savings right now, and this company, even working for them, has taught me so much about financial education. You know, coming into it, I knew a little bit about it, but I've learned so much just from working there.
When you came in and everything that you're learning, I know me personally, like I said, it was so exciting when I got to college and I actually took money in banking and they actually talked about what banks are for, what banks do, the process of them taking your money for deposits and what it's used for and all of those things. Is this something that is also taught?
We don't go into a ton about banking. We talk about credit reports, insurance, mortgages, but we don't go into the whole banking process.
And what do you talk to them about when it comes to credit reports? Because that is something else that's kind of lacking in the home. I know that our parents tell us all the time that we need to save our pennies and that we should have good habits, but we never have deep conversations about credit reports. Was that something that was your experience, or did your parents sit and talk with you about what your credit report is and how you use it?
No, not at all. I don't even think I knew what a credit report was until way late. So in our modules, we talk about what a credit report is and what's in it, such as personal information and credit history. We talk about credit report inquiries and public records. We really stress the importance of checking your credit score at least once a year. You can check it for free. And I think it's so important because there are fraudulent people out there that are looking to ruin your credit score and steal your credit information, and you have no idea about it until you go to buy a house and then you realize you have a horrible credit score and you don't know why, because you've been paying off your credit cards in full and, you know, there's not somebody that's going to come to you and say, oh, your credit score is dropping, you might want to look into that. You really have to look into it by yourself.
Do you guys recommend that they actually start checking their credit scores at the age of 18?
Yes, you can even check your credit score younger than that. People are stealing the identity of children and just ruining their credit score, and then they don't find out about it until they're adults.
Right. So, okay, that's excellent. I love that because, again, we don't think at such a young age that we should be checking our credit scores. We don't do that until we're in our 20s and 25, and like you said.
Right, until you think you have credit, exactly.
Right, or then all of a sudden you're trying to buy a car or you're trying to do something.
Yes.
I know my personal story is I definitely had identity theft years ago in my 20s, and I did not know it. And I talked about it with a friend on one of her financial shows. It turned out that I owned all of these different properties. Of course, I didn't own the properties, but it turned out that I had mortgages on all these properties, and I don't remember taking them out because I had never even gone into a bank to sign any mortgage papers. And it was quite an experience, really trying to get everything corrected so that I could then actually get on the financial journey that I wanted to be on.
Exactly. So, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, I ended up having to really, you know, write letters and to each credit reporting agency to ask them to remove this from my credit report. It took a number of years. The final one, I think I was actually about to be sued for taxes on one of the properties until it was almost like $1 million property until I said, okay, you know what, no problem, just give me the deed and I'll take care of everything. And then all of a sudden everything was fixed right away. They found the right people. My name was taken off. Everything was back in order, but it was still such an experience that it makes me very vigilant about checking my credit. So,
yeah, that's such a scary story.
It is.
If once your credit report or your credit score is ruined, it's very hard to get it back up. Even if it's identity theft, they won't fix it for you because they don't know necessarily. And
right. And I hope they actually do something about that once someone has been affected by identity theft, that they'll step in and do some serious corrections and not just take information off paper, but literally go in and correct their scores. Now, I'm on your site.
Yes, it sounds like you're lucky.
Yes. I'm on your site, and I'm looking at the available modules for everyone to take, and I do see the five, and one of them is insurance. I'm very happy to see that. Can you talk to me about that particular module?
Yes, definitely. I think it's so interesting, and it's, you know, something that we all have to pay for, especially health insurance, car insurance, and it protects people against financial losses. And one of our statistics is a General Accounting Office report found that 1.7 million college-age students do not have health insurance, which is not going to be possible soon, but it's $120 to $250 million in uncompensated medical expenses. And a lot of college students think, you know, they're invincible and nothing's going to happen and health insurance isn't a necessary thing for them to purchase. But it's so important. You never know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you can have millions of dollars in medical expenses that you can't afford, and that just adds on to your debt.
Right. Yeah, and I do see you talk about life, health, auto, property, and disability. Now, I'm not sure how many college-age students or 18-year-olds own a whole lot of property that they need to get insurance for.
Right, exactly.
But it is good that you bring up the topics of life insurance and disability insurance. We're finding that a lot of homes, that's going to be one of our topics soon enough as well. We're finding that a lot of homes are without life insurance, and when something happens to anybody within the family, they struggle to really pay off bills and end up, as you said, damaging credit, accumulating more bills, and so on and so on. So to have this type of protection is so important, and I'm glad that you guys are teaching young adults about protection, money protection, and all of these different modules.
Right, exactly. And you know, life insurance and disability insurance and property insurance probably isn't something that most high school and college students are going to have, but still, it's important that they know about it for their future. It's not something that's taught about in that age, but it's something that they will eventually need to look into, so I think it's important that they at least know about it, even though it's not one of the insurances that they're necessarily going to purchase in the next few years.
And what about investment and retirement? What is it that you talk to them about when it comes to investments and retirement?
Well, we're finding that it's really important for them to start investing in their retirement sooner than originally thought. because retirement savings for their individuals in their 20s, the average is $7,200. That is not the savings that I would have for my retirement, but that's what the average 20-year-olds have as their savings for their retirement. And 82% of eligible employees participate in a company's retirement plan. So the average retirement age is 61, and Social Security is depleting so fast that when these students are at that age, there's not going to be any Social Security benefits really left for them. So they really are relying on themselves to be able to retire. Otherwise, they're going to have to work for the rest of their lives, which is scary.
It is. So you, and it's kind of something that's happening now, especially after the previous embezzlements and crashes. We see and find that people are working until they're 72, 73, and 75 years old.
Right.
So it's not even something that we're talking about future-wise. It's something that's actually occurring right now in the time that we're living in. When you guys talk to them about investments, are you literally talking about stock market investments or Roth IRAs, 401ks? How do you get into teaching them about investing in themselves for a good retirement?
We talk about, you know, we really stress the part about Social Security and how there's not going to be a plan for them necessarily to count on, and that we talk about the different types of retirement plans, such as a 401k and an individual retirement account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you basically kind of scare them to death a little bit, huh?
Right, yes, exactly. It's not something that students are interested in, you know, spending their money on or putting it away for retirement because it seems like so far away. But I know when I retire, I want to be traveling, so I better start saving for it now.
Right. And what type of saving habits would you say you've learned from the program? What did they talk to you about?
My boss keeps saying, Rachel, get a 401k, get a 401k or a Roth IRA. Like, they're so important.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in based on things that are kind of happening now, when you give these three-hour modules or the module, the classes and everything, is there another portion that really talks to them about job security or what are you saying to them in order to help them really kind of feel secure about how to manage their money and their future?
You know, we don't talk a lot about job security because it's not necessarily true that they're going to have job security.
Right.
So, you know, it's really just, you know, when you have a job, you need to be saving because, especially in today's economy, you don't know what's going to happen, and that job is not necessarily going to be around forever.
Right. Okay. But, you know, it's good that you guys do get into investments and retirement. And like I said, I'm so happy that you talked to them about insurance and credit reports. And student loans, of course, is the biggest. What would you say is your conversation or in the module about debt? If we click on the debt module, what do we talk about? Because I see that it's all on its own outside of credit cards and student loans and other things. So I'm thinking that there's some sort of concentrated lecture on what debt is and how to use it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, credit cards and student loans are a huge portion of young adults' debt. But 18 to 24-year-olds are accumulating debt at such a huge rate because they have access to credit cards and they have their own student loans.
Mm-hmm.
So a statistic is that college students are leaving school with an average of $26,000 in debt, and undergraduate students are leaving with just $3,000 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's just this growing problem with young adults.
Okay. And I like that you guys are stepping up and doing something about it. Do you talk to them about why financial and credit and debt management is so important?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important because if you get into financial trouble, getting out of debt is just impossible, and it affects getting a job, getting a house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talk about how to avoid debt and then what happens if debt does become a problem.
Okay, well, let me just let the listeners know that once again, you are talking with Rachel Pollard. Just make sure I'm saying that correctly. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay, we're talking to Rachel Pollard of FutureBook, and they are out of, is it Financial Education of America?
Yes.
Financial Education of America, and if you have any questions or comments about what Rachel is telling us about tonight, please do call in at 347-996-3160. Press the number one to let me know that you are in queue and ready and waiting to speak to her about this wonderful company and how they equip young adults to handle themselves financially as they go out into the world. Now, Rachel, have you taken any of these classes or these modules?
Oh, yes. I've taken them all multiple times.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell us about your personal experience with them, please.
You know, it really taught me so much, especially about things that I hadn't thought about in the future, such as retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great program because it touches on everything that a young adult will need to know, plus things that are just things that they should think about in their future. Like identity theft and insurance are not things that most young adults think are something that is important to know about, but it's really is.
Right, and do you get to go back? I mean, I know you said it's a 3-hour class, but after you take the class, I'm not sure if they give out the certificates or anything, but how often are you allowed to kind of come back and revisit the information?
Yeah, you can come back whenever you want. You register for the course, and then all you have to do is put in your login information, and you can access your course. You can review the modules as many times as you want. There's a quiz after every module that just reiterate some of the important information that you learned in case you missed anything to make sure that you really took out of it what you were supposed to get out of it and what's really important.
Right, right. Okay, and so needless to say, we know and believe that financial literacy in youth and young adults is extremely important, not just for how they live, but just basically for the future of whatever community they're from.
Yeah, yes. It's important no matter where you're from or whether you have to think about things such as student loans or credit cards. You know, I mean, someday everybody is going to have to think about money management and credit cards and mortgages. And so I think it's just important no matter where you are in life, even if you're not a young adult, this just teaches you so much about savings.
Right, right. Now tell us, you know, before we close, tell us which states you're in. Are you just in specific states? Are you just on the East Coast, West Coast, or are you, like, in different states?
No, it's a nationwide program, and we have, in the course, from all over the country. We're based out of Chicago, but it's definitely nationwide.
Nice. So you do have... Okay, so are these classes online, or do you go into an actual brick-and-mortar building to take them? So if it's nationwide, how do we get to take it?
No, it's online, so you can visit futurebook.com and register for the course. And, I mean, you can do it on any computer anywhere in the world, actually, that has Internet access.
And these are free courses?
We offer the program for free from August 19th until the end of October. It's currently on sale for $39.95, and we offer discounts through a few of our partnerships.
Wonderful. What can you tell us about the partnerships?
So we're partnering with other organizations to help spread the word about FutureBook and financial education. And so through those partnerships, we offer about a 50% discount and offer it for $19.99 to their members. So you can visit National Honor and Merit Scholars Society. And if you click on our link through their website, NHMSS, you can get our program on sale for 50% off.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Well, you know, we're really going to just go ahead and wind down and say thank you to Rachel for being on the show. And, of course, let's say hello to Bob very quickly because he was the one that kind of got the ball rolling with getting you guys on today. So thank you to Bob for recommending that you come on the show and talk with us and for all the information that you give us. Now, as Rachel said, you can find them on – now, you said you can find them on Facebook and Twitter and on your website as well?
Yes, Facebook at FutureBook, Twitter at FutureBook, and on FutureBook.com.
Wonderful. I will be posting those links into our event tonight for anybody to go over and check out more about what they are doing, and hopefully that you'll be able to join in this wonderful program that educates young people and spread the word, help them spread the word about it. So please do visit them on all three of these social networking sites. And again, a big thank you to Rachel for coming on. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Wonderful. And as you know, to our listeners, Tribal Wisdom is turning itself into a nice little network. If you did not know, you're finding out now. We will be on 7 days a week. We have some wonderful individuals that are involved and who are poised to give you all kinds of information on love, weddings, marriage, and family. We want to welcome Deirdre and Dwight Rousseau. We want to welcome Cheryl and Gregory Clark. They are Couples TV. They will be on talking with you guys about a lot of different subjects and probably focusing on communication between couples, which is great. Pamela King, you know, that's my girl right there. We get into it all the time. The girl is always asking me questions and catching me off guard, but she keeps me on my toes if she's listening. Girl, you got this. You got this. Please take it easy on me. We've got Ike Brown, Myro Simpson, Adrian E. Bell, the Intentional Wife is going to be a part of it. The Raw Mogalisa Juan Hager is going to be on. We can't wait to see and hear what she's going to be doing when it comes to talking to us about our health. And these are the people that are making up the Tribal Wisdom Network. I hope that you will go on to blogtalkradio.com and begin to follow us. And get ready, and as well as you can find us, our Facebook page, Bridal Tribe, blogtalkradio.com/Bridal Tribe. Go in, let us know that you are there, that you are ready for us. Let us know about any topics that you want to hear about. We are always happy to tailor our talks to you. So this is Cynthia from Tribal Wisdom signing off. You know that we are a company about love, beauty, wedding and marriage fun. We love you so much, and we'll see you next week for another hour. Make it a great one.